I am so excited to tell you about the latest additions to the Politocrat Daily podcast Summer Sensations series. And the latest items are the Heart and Soul collection. There's four of the best, four colorful t-shirts that you will love just in time for summer. Summer is around the corner and the Summer Sensations series is launching. It's getting underway. It's hotting up. And there's lots more to come. I promise you, you will not be disappointed by the collection of t-shirts and other items that will be coming up for the Summer Sensations series. The Heart and Soul collection is the latest, and I think you'll really enjoy it. So right now, please go to the-politocrat.myshopify.com and take a look at the Heart and Soul collection and the Summer Sensations series. Shop now. Thank you. Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Thursday, July the 22nd, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat,
the senators who are filibustering concerning your and my rights, that's the government. Don't say it, Southern senators. This is the government. This is a government filibuster. It's not a segregationist filibuster. It's a government filibuster. Any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible.
Those are the words of Malcolm X from 1964. And I will explain why those words ring more truer than ever before. More true than ever before. Right now in 2021. Especially with President Biden's town hall held yesterday in Ohio with CNN's Don Lemon and a town hall audience. Lots to talk about here, and it centers around voting, and you won't want to miss this. Coming up next. Welcome back. I hope that your Thursday has been going swimmingly and that as we get toward the end of the conventional work week, that you are in good health and you are in a trajectory that sees you going the way you want to go, which is up and in your own way, with peace and contentment and love. And a measure of satisfaction that at least some things in your life are going the way you would like them to. It has been quite a week, and I want to get into this straight away because there is no standard, and I often do this, precursor to what the main event is, because I'm going to just get straight to it on this episode of the Politocrat Daily Podcast, and thank you very much for your continued loyalty and for your listenership. Please spread the word about the Politocrat Daily Podcast. It is available on many platforms now, including Apple, Spotify, Anchor, and Stitcher, and a whole lot of others, Google, and many others. So please spread the word and subscribe to this podcast right now, please. I want to remind people, actually, I do want to do one thing here. I want to remind people, because I don't think I've done that often enough during this week, that this coming Saturday on this particular podcast, I will be announcing the winner of my summer book giveaway, the second one of the summer, the summer book giveaway number two, and I'll be giving away the book, The Other Black Girl, a novel written by Miss Harris, and Zakiya Harris is her name, to the best of my memory. I hope I haven't got her name wrong, my goodness. But I will be giving away a book this coming Saturday. So if you are listening, and you have entered, this contest, please be aware that it is this Saturday, the 24th of July, that I will be announcing on this podcast and on Twitter at the Popcorn REEL the winner of the book. And by the way, if you still would like to enter, if you'd like to enter this particular giveaway, all you have to do is retweet and follow the Popcorn REEL on Twitter. So retweet the tweet, and I will pin that tweet up again for the next 24 hours or so, or thereabouts, so that you can get an opportunity to retweet it. If you do that and you follow the Popcorn REEL, follow me at the Popcorn REEL and retweet the tweet that I'm going to be pinning to the account, the Popcorn REEL. It will be a photograph of myself, yours truly, holding up a copy of Ms. Harris's book, The Other Black Girl. And that's the tweet that you need to retweet. And also you need to follow me at the Popcorn REEL to be eligible to win. If you don't do both of those things, then unfortunately for you, you will not be able to have a shot at winning the prize. So this would be the second book giveaway, and just want to mention that to you. So if you are interested, please make sure that you enter this contest by going to Twitter at the Popcorn REEL and by retweeting the tweet that you will see there. That's a pinned tweet of my photograph with the book, The Other Black Girl, and also also following me as well. So there you go. Retweet and follow me at the Popcorn REEL. I think I made that clear enough. I hope I did. My goodness me. But I want to get now to this town hall. And you heard the voice of Malcolm X there. And I played that particular clip of Malcolm X back in 1964 for a real reason. Because everything he says, and you're going to hear more extended clips from Malcolm X, everything he said there is absolutely what's going on now in the United States Senate. And this has been going on forever. I mean, when Malcolm X said these words back in 1964, this was going on then. It was going on before Malcolm X spoke about these things. I mean, this has been going on forever in a system like this that does not value black life. And it does not value any notion of democracy. There is none here. I mean, really, it is none. And it's only for those rich white male property owners. I mean, that's like the most open secret of open secrets. But Malcolm X really did hit the nail on the head. And he was talking about filibusters, as you heard in that clip. And when it's a filibuster, it's not about the Southern senators, it's about the whole government allowing that to happen. It's all part of the whole governmental business. And he's absolutely correct. It is part of the Senate business. It's part of the government business. It's the legislative branch of government that is conducting that kind of business. And if there isn't a mechanism designed to shut that down and eliminate it altogether, then that is systemic. It's part of what the government business is. Why do I mention all of that? Because I mentioned President Joe Biden. How about that for a transition from Malcolm X to President Joe Biden? Huh. I mean, there is a shift, isn't it? From 1964 to 2021. And may I remind people, because people will love to forget this now, especially some of the people who are Democrats or who call themselves progressives. And I'm a progressive. I call myself a progressive, but I'm not someone. And I'm not saying that every progressive is like this. I'm saying that there are some who are like this, who pretend that Joe Biden is this saint. And not even the progressives, because the progressives know that that's not true. But the Democrats, I would say the more moderate Democrats, the so-called Democrats who are in the top 10 to 15% of the money earners in this country, they are all for civil rights and equality and justice and women's rights and all of these important things, but they are fiscally conservative. And they are people who just like just enough power to keep anybody else from grabbing theirs. And that kind of person, you know, perhaps some of those persons can be found in the arts who are making lots of money. Some of them may be found in other professions. in other businesses and trades. And they have a nice big smile on their face and they'll tell you that they're for this and they're for that. But when you start speaking the truth to some of the people that I am thinking of and talking about, they don't like it. They don't like when you do that. And I'm sorry, that's if you don't like the fact that I am talking about these issues or that someone is talking about these issues, no matter who they are, then it's kind of something you've got to examine in yourself that it is not, I mean. Because I've always said, and I've said it especially recently, that you can't go through this world on a societal level and act as if everything is okay. And you can't go through this world on a societal level and not be uncomfortable at some level, at some point. You have to be. And I'm not talking about your personal life if you've got health issues or very serious challenges. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about with the state of the world and the way the world is. You can't be comfortable with that. You've got to want to be uncomfortable so that you feel a sense of urgency to do something about this world, to constantly question, to constantly act, to do something, instead of just sitting back and watching the world go by you and not even challenging what's going on. So this transition, this abrupt segue, and I'm going to, again, as I said, I'm going to go to Malcolm X again during the course of this episode. Now, this abrupt transition from 1964 to 2021 is not exactly that abrupt because President Biden, back in the day, palled around, to use, God forbid, but to use the words of Sarah Palin, palled around with white, southern, racist-ass segregationists. And yes, they used the filibuster. Of course they did. Strom Thurmond and Eastland. Biden worked with both of them in his Senate career, his 40-some-odd year, nearly 50-year Senate career. Robert Byrd, former Klansman. I mean, you know, then he renounced being, you know, he renounced his Grand Wizard status. I mean, this is what you've got in the United States, in the United States Senate. And President Biden was a part of that Senate for nearly 50 years, for a long time anyway. It was about a very long time. And at least 40 plus years. And the thing is, this guy came out in the 70s and said he did not support busing. That's well documented. It's well documented. And Malcolm X's words ring really true because yesterday at this town hall in Ohio, with CNN's Don Lemon and a town hall audience right there in the building there. I forgot what the building was, what it was called. I guess it doesn't really matter that much, but it was in Ohio. And you had a studio, you had an audience in there. And the most telling thing, because I wasn't expecting a heck of a lot, because I don't watch CNN in general. You know, I've talked about this ad infinite. I don't watch any of these corporate news networks except for Sky News in the UK, which is owned by an American company named Comcast. You know who Comcast are. And Xfinity, same thing. You know, they're the cable arm. But the point I'm making, an internet arm, but the point I'm making here, and the phone arm, but the point I'm making here, as that siren in the background goes, I hope that the person or persons they are attending to are going to be okay, or that everything is okay, that's not too distressing. But the point I'm trying to make here, dear listener, is that you have this town hall, and I wasn't expecting a lot from it. You know, this is only the second time I've watched anything on CNN in the last God knows how long, since November of last year. The only other time was when the announcement of the verdict, not the sentencing, the verdict of Derek Chauvin was read out back in April, and I watched that just for the verdict, and then I just turned it off. And that was back in April. So only twice since November of last year now. And I didn't expect much. Don Lemon, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Don Lemon. I think he's a whole lot smarter when he's doing his podcast and when he's writing the book that he's now got out. And when he is doing interviews with people for newspapers or on television, I think he's really smart there. But when he's on TV, there's a certain role he's playing. And while some of the things I think he says have got a lot of truth and validity to them, and I like some of the stuff he has said when I used to watch CNN, I think a lot of the time, a lot of it is just kind of this entertainment, which I think doesn't really belong so much. So I came in with rather low expectations, but I have to say, Don Lemon did an excellent job last night. I will criticize and I will also praise. That's just the person I am. And yeah, there may be more times when I do the criticizing. And I think we should do those kinds of things. And, you know, we have to hold ourselves to account too. I have always been a tough critic on myself. And you have to be, if you want to try to better yourself and better who you are as a person, you have to constantly challenge yourself and grow and do the hard stuff and do that. And not make any fanfare of it, but do those things. And so Don Lemon, I think, did an excellent job last night with this town hall. And the biggest moment to me, and I know I tweeted something last night with this facial gesture that Joe Biden made that was kind of a little, I don't know what, that the real moment of the night last night was when this person that you're about to hear, a guy who is going to be going into law school in the fall in Ohio, oh, Michigan, which I forget which school he said he was going to. But bottom line is, this is where things really got interesting. Joe Biden, last night otherwise, kept repeating things over and over and over again. Very, 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 very. He would say it 6 or 7 times, and he did that several times. So I don't know what that was about. I don't know. People will say, well, he's a little bit older now, Omar, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, because I've seen Joe Biden be very sharp, and he's not repeated. I mean, I know sometimes he does, and he did it at least 4 times last night, and that became a little bit of a distraction. But the thing that really stood out, that was the key of the night, all stemmed from a question by a young white male college grad who was going off to law school in the fall. And you've got to listen to this, and I'm going to just let this whole thing play. It's about 5, maybe 6 minutes, if not a little more. But you need to hear this in full context. And then I'm going to talk about elements of this that, well, just listen to the question from the young man in the audience and listen to President Biden answering, and also Don Lemon.
My question is, last week regarding the GOP's efforts to restrict voting rights, you said those efforts were, quote, the most dangerous threat to voting and the integrity of free and fair elections in our history, end quote. While you have condemned these attacks, you and congressional members of your party have done little to actually stop these assaults. If these efforts are really the most dangerous in our history, isn't it logical to get rid of the filibuster so we can protect our democracy and secure the right to vote?
Stand by what I said. Never before has there been an attempt by state legislatures to take over the ability to determine who won. Not count the votes, determine who won. We have election officials across the board that they're deciding to push out of the way. And if in fact tomorrow, as let's say we're running last time and these laws have been in effect, that are these changes. In Georgia, the Georgia's legislature, you know, Biden won by multiple thousand votes. They could say, we don't think it was legit, and the state legislature votes, we're going to send electors up to Congress to vote for Trump, not Biden. That's never, ever, 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 ever been tried before. Mm-hmm. This is Jim Crow on steroids, mm-hmm. What we're talking about. And so it takes, go to your second point. I've been saying for a long, long time, the abuse of the filibuster is pretty overwhelming. When I got to the United States Senate at a time when we had guys like Jim Eastland and Strom Thurmond and Robert F. Byrd and a whole range of people who were very, 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 very conservative on race, to say the least. Even then, if you were to filibuster, you had to stand on the floor and hold the floor. And that's why Strom, I think, set the record at 24 straight hours or something. Don't hold me the number, but, you know, so you had to take the look. There were significantly fewer filibusters in those days, in the middle of the Civil Rights Movement.
But let me talk to you about that.
Finish my answer, because I'll tell you what I do. I would go back to that where you have to maintain the floor. You have to stand there and talk and hold the floor. You can't just say
what's happening. I understand that. But what difference is that if you hold the floor for, you know, a day or a year? What difference does it make? Here's the thing for me. You talked about people, and this is important for people who look like me. My grandmother would sit around when I was a kid, fifth grade, had a fifth grade education. I learned that she couldn't read when I was doing my homework. She would tell me stories about people asking her to count the number of jelly beans in the jar, yep, or the soap. So why is protecting the filibuster, is that more important than protecting voting rights, especially for people who fought and died for that?
No. It's not. I want to see the United States Congress, the United States Senate, pass S1 and S4, the John Lewis Act, get it on my desk so I can sign it. But here's the deal. What I also want to do, I want to make sure we bring along not just all the Democrats. We bring along Republicans who I know better. They know better than this. And what I don't want to do is get wrapped up right now in the argument whether or not this is all about the filibuster or, look, the American public, you can't stop them from voting. You tried last time. More people voted last time than any time in American history, in the middle of the worst pandemic in American history. More people did. And they showed up. They're going to show up again. They're going to do it again. But what I want to do is I'm trying to bring the country together. And I don't want the debate to only be about whether or not we have a filibuster or exceptions to the filibuster, or that going back to the way the filibuster had to be used before.
But isn't that the only way you're going to get it done right now?
No, I don't believe that. I think we can get it done.
If you agree with the former president, he is called your as you call him, your old boss, that it is a relic of Jim Crow.
It is.
If it's a relic of Jim Crow, it's been used to fight against civil rights legislation historically. Why protect it?
There's no reason to protect it other than you're going to throw the entire Congress into chaos and nothing will get done.
Right.
Nothing at all will get done. Yeah. And there's a lot at stake. The most important one is the right to vote. That's the single most important one. And your vote counted, and counted by someone who honestly counts it. But it goes beyond that. For example, wouldn't my friends on the other side love to have a debate about the filibuster instead of passing the Recovery Act? Or wouldn't they love doing it instead of being in a position where we provide for... How many of you have children under the age of 17? Raise your hand. Guess what? You're getting a lot of money in a monthly check now, aren't you? No, you deserve... No. I really mean it. Republicans used to fight for it as well. It's called the child tax credit. If you have a child under the age of 7, you get $350 a month. If you have a child under between 7 and 17, you get a total of $200 a month. And guess what? It's cutting child poverty in half. In half, Mr. President.
Give me strength. You know, I would tend to raise my voice here, but I'm going to calmly take you through the bullshit that you just heard from the 46th president of the United States. That was bullshit. I'll tell you why. The question was about voting rights. The question was about voting rights. The very first thing that President Biden said, I'm going to go right through this verbatim, almost verbatim, but just bit by bit, the first thing he did was to talk about, well, the electors could have given this to Trump if they chose to. If those laws were in place now, the ones that are being passed, that the Republicans are passing in all these states, If those laws were in place last November, the electors didn't have to give it to me. They could have given it to Trump instead of Biden. And wait a minute, the guy didn't ask you about elections. That is post-vote. I'm just doing an imitation of Joe Madison when he gets really upset. Joe Madison, if you listen to him in the mornings on Sirius XM Radio, Channel 126 Urban View, you will hear him say that, because it's just, that's when he gets pissed off at people. The young man asked you, the young white brother asked you about voting rights and why are you not doing anything? And your response is to talk about elections and the electors? That's after everybody's voted. Oh, God. I mean, so that's number one. That's your first wrong move right there, Mr. President. You didn't answer the young man's question. You diverted to something completely different. Pivoted to something. The guy never asked you about the electors and the elections board and what they'll do, and this set of electors will be sent instead of the other ones. He didn't ask you about that. He asked you about voting rights, which is pre what the electors do. The electors can't just do things. I mean, I'm sure they can, but not in the way that was described. I'm talking about when Biden's talking about this last night, he's talking about, well, the electors could have given it to someone else, Trump instead of Biden. That's not what this guy asked you. I'm going to repeat that. He did not ask you that. He asked you about voting rights. And then when he presses, and then you hear him talking about, oh yeah, these segregationists, and I told you, he says the word very, very, ever, forever. Seems like did anybody not hear him say it seven times? Very, 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 very conservative on race. No, very, 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 very conservative on race equals they're fucking racists. That's what that means. And that's what that equals. That's the arithmetic. These were segregationists. These were out and out blatantly open racists who were members of the KKK, especially Byrd. Eastland, and Biden worked with Eastland. Strom Thurmond, another Klan guy, basic segregationist. These are blatantly racist human beings, scumbags. Very, very, very conservative on race. Really? No, they're racist. Why didn't you just say that? So that's the other thing. And then, when Don Lemon, this again, Don Lemon was very good last night. I said he was excellent. And he challenged President Biden, which a lot of these moderators on these networks don't do. They don't challenge the other guy that just left the White House 6 months ago, and they don't challenge this guy that much. I mean, they probably challenge him a little bit more, but that's still not challenging him. But Don Lemon did that last night. Because all that nonsense that Biden went on to say, oh, well, you know, this is just pathetic that he said this. Oh, well, you know, the vote and, you know, people will vote and da-da-da-da-da-da and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we shouldn't be really caught up and hung up on, wrapped up in filibuster. Filibuster's been going on for hundreds of years in the United States. The filibuster, dear listener, has been going on in the United States, in the Senate, for hundreds of years, since the 1800s, if not earlier. There are so many things that would have helped advance the lot of black folk in this here country, the US of A. But filibusters absolutely stopped all of that. Kevin Cruz, K-R-U-S-E, a number of weeks or months ago, I forget when it was, sometime this year, tweeted out the whole list of times that filibusters happened in the Senate against legislation that would have helped black people. And there were dozens of dozens and dozens of dozens and dozens of occasions that he puts down 1873, 18 this, 18 that, 1902, 1906, 1918, 19, I mean, ups loads of these things. This filibuster's been going on forever. It's like the Electoral College. These are antiquated things that were designed to block black folk, to oppress black folk, to enslave black folk. It was basically a system of enslavement being enforced through legislative channels. In the sense that the laws that the black folk in this country would have benefited from were completely, completely shut down. It was an oppressive move by these racists or by whomever. And as Malcolm X said, it's a government filibuster. It's not just these senators in the South. It's a whole system that allows for that mechanism to continue. Just like the Electoral College. We don't need the Electoral College anymore. It's 2021. We don't need it anymore. And Don Lemon, you know, was listening to this nonsense, as I was, as you were. And Don Lemon says, look, you know, I just have to say, right, this is for me. Because this is about people who look like me. And he told the story about his grandmother and the these voter tests, these oppressive and racist tests. Oh, how many jelly beans are there in a jar? Oh, how many bubbles are there in a bar of soap? I've talked about this often on this podcast. And as Don Lemon said it really well. You know, why do you want to continue the system? What's more important? Safeguarding voting rights for people who died for them, where people died, or do you more interested in protecting this filibuster? And, you know, Don Lemon pinned him down on that, which was good. Well, you know, who knows? Who knew? You know, I'm happy that he did that. I'm glad he did that. He put him on the spot and said, what's more important? Keeping this filibuster or protecting voting rights? The same voting rights that people like me and many others fought and died for. And it's very clear to me. But Biden said, oh, no, no, it's not more important to hold on to the filibuster. But you're doing that. He's totally doing that. He's not advocated coming out against the filibuster at all. He is preserving the system. And I'm telling you, this is what many of us knew about Joe Biden. That you knew that he would be a placeholder for the system. Yeah, he might tinker here and tinker there and get this passed and be an influence with these executive orders and do this and do the other. And he might pass a Juneteenth holiday, which we've been fighting for, some of us, forever. So don't make him out to be this great person, this great saint, when the fight for the Juneteenth holiday did not start with President Biden. I talked about Opal Woods. I've talked about all these other activists who have been out here for decades, trying to get that holiday. And, you know, this is the thing that burns me up here, is that, well, we shouldn't get wrapped up in filibuster talk and getting rid of it. We should get wrapped up in it because it's been going on for hundreds of years. And it's been the one thing that has absolutely crippled progress. Excuse me using that word. It has absolutely handcuffed, maybe a better word, I don't know, progress in this country for black folk in particular. Filibuster. I mean, that is a system that says, we don't want you black folk to have anything, which is akin to enslavement. You don't have anything. You're nothing. We've got you in chains. And they're shackling us again with these filibusters. And then you got a president who sat there back in November and told you that he had your back. Oh, I'm going to have your back, and you had my back, and you voted for me, and I'm going to have your back. And he hasn't. He's not done that. And that's the thing that really stands out to me. As we are now, what, 6.5, 7 months in, we have not seen, as black folk, we have not seen the things that President Biden said that he was committed to doing, or at least indicated he was looking at. I mean, it's just, again, this is what happens. This is what Malcolm X talked about over and over and over again. And I'm going to play the clip right now where I really want to convey what Malcolm X said about this, because he can say it and did say it a whole lot better than I can or will. So why don't we just listen to what Malcolm X had to say about the point that I am about to make.
22 million black victims of Americanism are waking up, and they're gaining a new political consciousness, becoming politically mature. And as they become, develop this political maturity, they're able to see the recent trends in these political elections. They see that the whites are so evenly divided that every time they vote, the race is so close they have to go back and count the votes all over again. And which means that any block, any minority that has a block of votes that stick together is in a strategic position. Either way you go, that's who gets it. You're in a position to determine who go to the White House and who stay in the doghouse. You're the one who has that power. You can keep Johnson in Washington, D.C., or you can send him back to his Texas cotton patch. You're the one who sent Kennedy to Washington. You're the one who put the present Democratic administration in Washington, D.C. The whites were evenly divided. It was the fact that you threw 80% of your votes behind the Democrats that put the Democrats in the White House. When you see this, you can see that the Negro vote is the key factor. And despite the fact that you are in a position to be the determining factor, what do you get out of it? The Democrats have been in Washington, D.C. only because of the Negro vote. They've been down there 4 years. And all other legislation they wanted to bring up, they've brought it up and gotten it out of the way, and now they bring up you. And now they bring up you. You put them first, and they put you last. Because you're a chump. A political chump. In Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives, there are 257 who are Democrats. Only 177 are Republicans. In the Senate, there are 67 Democrats. Only 33 are Republicans. The party that you backed controls two-thirds of the House of Representatives and the Senate, and still they can't keep their promise to you, because you're a chump.
And there we go. Malcolm X, in a nutshell, they're telling you. They got all this legislation out of the way, and now they bring up you. Now they bring up you. And he's absolutely right. That has been the legacy in this country. Black folk are the ones putting their asses on the line, putting their lives on the line, voting up a storm in this damn place. And what do we get for it in the end? Once we get the person in, what are they doing for us? And we're going to continue to vote. I mean, President Biden was right about that, but that is also him taking us for granted, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, people will come out and vote again. You can't be so sure that that's going to happen, because 81 million people voted, and 96%+ of the black women who voted for President Biden voted like their lives depended on it. I mean, can't depend on that. I mean, this is just evil stuff. And Malcolm X says it right there. We are not a part of the shorthand of what he said. It's pretty clear, though, to you, of course. But my shorthand of it is, we are not a concern for these folks. And the fact that President Biden's hemming and hawing, well, we shouldn't get wrapped up in the filibuster, we shouldn't get wrapped up in a debate about that. We should. See, this is the thing. And that's why he's a placeholder for the system. And again, I told you last year that I had some issues with President Biden. Well, he was Joe Biden then. He still is Joe Biden now. I have issues with Joe Biden. I'm going to vote for him, though, and I'm going to work hard to make sure he gets in. And then you keep lobbying. Doesn't matter who's in there. You've got to keep doing the same thing. And I kept warning about this complacency among some of the Democratic contingent. Some of us. When President Obama was in, we just... took her hands off the brakes and walked away. And President Obama drove the car, I'll take it from here. And he took it to places that didn't necessarily benefit black folk. I mean, yeah, some things were pluses for black folk and for our agenda, but there's a whole lot of things where President Obama didn't give a rat's ass. Because he's not serving people. He's serving a system first. All of these people are. I mean, come on, if they step out of line, you know what happens. You know? I mean, case in point, Elliot Spitzer, for God's sake. Now listen, you know, again, his personal life is his personal life, not for me to judge. But Elliot Spitzer was actually working on behalf of the people. And you know what happened to him? Time for this guy to go. He's getting too close to the moneyed interests. And rather than us put a cap in his ass, we're going to get him set up with some hooker or some madam or whomever, some sex worker, excuse me, and got him busted, gotcha. Marriage effed up, his marriage is all fucked up, you know, it's all, you know, it's, you know, boom, boom. Had to resign, boom. That guy was going to be the governor of New York State. And he would have made some kinds of differences. This guy has gave no mercy to these Wall Streeters. No freaking mercy. But the people and the powers that be found a way to get him out of the way. And that's what the system is. And President Biden's answer to that question by that young man was the worst answer he gave all night long. Last night in that town hall in Ohio. It's the worst answer. Piss poor answer. And Don Lemon pressed him and pressed him. And there were a number of other questions, by the way, that he did not answer very well. There was a Republican, a white male Republican business owner who was there asking about, well, look, you know, how can you help me get some jobs? You know, my workforce has been decimated. And then Biden started talking about, well, you know, this act and that act did this. But he wasn't asking you about what your acts and what your legislation or what your initiatives did. He's asking about how can you help me get a job, get jobs for my workforce, for my business. And he never answered that. I mean, it was a, well, I mean, he was not good last night. President Biden was not good. In terms of, he just was not, in terms of some of the questions, he did not answer some of those. And again, I want to get back to the voting. Because you can't say, oh, there's never been an attempt in this country for voting elections officials to override a vote. Are you kidding? Oh, there's never been an attempt like, are you kidding? This guy either doesn't know history or he's lying out of his ass. Oh my God, there's never been an attempt by state officials and statewide officials to overturn results and to change results. Has he ever heard of Katherine Harris? The Secretary of State of Florida? Has he ever heard of Ken Blackwell, the one point Secretary of State of Ohio? I mean, I can go on and on. And oh, there's never been an attempt by a statewide elector or a statewide official to overturn an election. This is the first time. Never, ever, 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 ever. It's like, what are you talking about? Honestly, this was so bad. So bad. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. Malcolm X just then said, well, you know, what I was going to say, which is, we do all these things. We vote. We die in pandemics. We get murdered by police. We all these things happen. And then when we vote these people in, specifically, I'm talking about President Biden, they just walk back and just fall back and don't do anything. And why do you think black women are out here sacrificing and marching and getting arrested? And then today, black men did the same thing, got arrested in the same area in DC, I think it was. And I just don't understand it. Where's everybody else? It's like what Roland Martin said today. Where on earth was everybody else? Where are all of these concerned white voters and who talk about on Twitter about voting rights and we need to do this and we need to do that? Where are they going? Where are they? Where are they at demonstrations? Maybe there are some. They're not being covered, maybe. But where are they? Because usually that would be covered. If a white person's doing this, it'd be covered. And where are all of the people who marched in the streets last summer, a year ago? And they had masks on during a pandemic that still goes on now. And they were marching justice for George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. And that was all really great. But where is that group of people, those millions of people now, marching for voting rights? Come on now. You were marching for one person and one person's family last year. All these people all over the globe, but particularly here in the United States. And you were out in the numbers of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in this country marched. I wasn't one of them because last year, oh my God, no. Not with this pandemic. I would have joined them if there was no pandemic. I totally would have joined them. I would have been there. Would have been there, no question. Because I've done these kinds of things, among other things. I'm not trying to toot my horn. But this is something I think is very important. And there's many ways to do these things. But my goodness, you know, this is what happened. And where are they now? Where are they? And this is something that is bigger than one family. Forgive me for sounding as if I'm kind of sidling by the Floyd family. I'm certainly not intending that at all. Although intent really is not the issue, is it? But the issue is, here are now voting rights, empowerment, your voice is the most sacred thing you've got when it comes to this political system that you are in. And if you don't have that, or if it is curtailed or cut short, forget it. You got nothing. Nothing. And they could put your ass back into enslavement as quickly as this. When you've got no vote, you have no voice. You know, I always would say, you know, if you didn't vote, you've got nothing to complain about. You can't say a word because you didn't vote. If you had the right to vote and you are eligible to vote and you didn't exercise the franchise, you can't sit here and complain that a Donald Trump is in office because you didn't vote. Now, people who did vote can complain. But if you didn't even make an attempt to vote, you didn't go in there and vote, what are you complaining about? Why didn't you vote? And now, if all these laws, and they're being passed, left, right, I mean, forget it. 2022, you're going to see Republicans all over the place not the White House yet, at least, but in the House and in the Senate. And I'm telling you, so far, you know, President Biden had a meeting with Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats last week. And what happened? What happened behind those closed doors? You've not really heard. And if you have heard, it obviously wasn't earth-shattering. And I'm telling you, it's these moderates that are completely going to hand this thing back to the Republicans because, again, it's a system of two parties. And they're really one party. One party is the one that's going to throw you off the cliff. The other party is going to be the one that watches you fall over the cliff and then tries to save you when you're dangling off the edge of the cliff and maybe pulls you back up. I mean, that's really the difference between these two parties, right? Maybe that's a little bit rough, but I think that's about accurate when it comes to us black folk. I mean, can you imagine that the best answer to the question by that white a student who graduated and is heading to law school, and it looks like he might have a pretty bright future as a law student, because that's the kind of question that you should ask. That was the best question of the night last night. Here's about voting rights and filibuster. You and your parties, you heard it there. I played it a few minutes ago. You and your party, people have not done enough. And he's absolutely right. He has not done enough. President Biden, he's not. And he's so quiet about this filibuster. Ooh, we can't have a debate. Yes, we should have a debate about it. I thought you had our back, Mr. President. You sat there on that Saturday in November. November the 7th, 2020. That was the same day we all jumped up and down, yours truly included. I drank champagne. I had selfies. I did this, I did that, the other. I was playing music and all this. And just later that night, you stood up there in Delaware and said, oh, and to the African-American community, you had my back and I'm going to have yours. They all cheer and it's like, okay, we'll see about that, Buster. And here we are. Nearly August has come. It's almost the, what, the 50... Geez, let me just see if I can get my math together in time. 56th anniversary of the signing of the Voting Rights Act? Is it August 5th or 6th, 1965? And 56 years later, you know, the 56-year anniversary, right? It's coming up very soon. Less than 2 weeks, about 2 weeks away. And it's just, you know, what's really happened since then? We've lost those rights. We've gone backwards. We've gone, when it comes to voting, the most sacred thing, really, in this political system is voting for the average person. It's voting. And we've gone backwards from 1965. We've gone backwards. Backwards. The Supreme Court in 2013, I keep talking about this, Shelby versus Holder, John Roberts, Chief Justice, with that absurd majority opinion, eviscerated the Pre-Clearance Act. I think it was Section 4, eviscerated it. So these states didn't have to do pre-clearance anymore. Now, they can just do whatever the hell they want, including pass all the laws you're seeing now. This is all a direct result of that U.S. Supreme Court decision in 2013. Shelby versus Holder. Please familiarize yourself with that decision. The famous dissent from RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Chief the Justice, who is no longer with us. A famous dissent in that case from her. But this is the thing. And we've gone backwards. We've gone backwards. The Supreme Court again the other day continued to do this with this Arizona decision that they did that said, no, we're not going to challenge that Arizona voter suppression law. Well, oh no. And it's just getting worse. And now this filibuster, these Republicans continue to do what they're doing. And you got a Democratic president that's like, oh no, I'm not going to get wrapped up in that. There's more important things. And he didn't say the word, there's more important things. Because he said voting rights was the most important of all. But that's a complete lie. Because why did you then pivot in your answer to the Recovery Act? That's what he did at the end of that answer. I haven't forgotten the analysis of those 6 minutes you heard. And he pivoted to, well, you're seeing your kid get more. The Child Credit Act, the Child Tax Credit Act. You're seeing your child get more. Your paycheck's getting more. Yeah, no. Believe me, I mean it. I really mean it. How many times did he say that last night? And pivoting to, so you went from not answering a question on voting rights to the Recovery Act and how much money do you have in your pocket? And you never answered the questions that Don Lemon posed or that this white student posed. It's just crazy. And he got robust applause when he asked President Biden this question. And then Biden fell so spectacularly short of even answering the question. And then that's why Don Lemon had to come in there and, you know, get a grasp of this and press him because he didn't answer what that white college student, college grad asked him. And then Don Lemon has to come in there and say, you know, but look, is it what's more concern to you? And that's the same thing that the student had asked President Biden. So Don Lemon was repeating that question. What's more important to you? Oh, well, of course it's voting rights. No, it's not. It's the filibuster. Oh, the whole Congress will be destroyed. Nothing will get done. Well, fuck that. Then so be it. We should be on that mission then to make sure nothing gets done until this issue gets addressed. It's been going on for hundreds of years. This filibuster since the 1800s. Yeah, maybe that needs to be the case. I mean, all this gridlock that you have in Congress anyway. Maybe that should be it. Well, nothing gets done. What else is new in Washington? How many times has there been gridlock with Mitch McConnell? Oh my God, oh, well, nothing gets done. Well, my God, that's been the legacy, isn't it? That's why Congress has such low approval ratings. Oh, nothing gets done. Well, then so be it. We're not going to move from here until you deal with this filibuster and get rid of the damn thing. Get rid. And stop making excuses. You're the president. And this is the other thing. I don't think Biden is pressing his muscle at all very much. And I get it. I know I've heard this commentary from some people saying, well, the situation with LBJ was different than it was President Biden. And yeah, that's true because, yeah, there were more Democratic members of Congress back then. It was a 2/3, and Malcolm X alluded to this too, 2/3 majority in both chambers of the legislative branch, the bicameral legislature, House and Senate. 2/3 Democrats in both houses. Gosh, if you could have that now, woof. But we don't know what kind of Democrats we're going to have, because that's why you need to get rid of all these moderates. Vote them out and get progressives in there. Hopefully they will fight for you and not turn into Kyrsten Sinema, who was once a progressive, at least in the Green Party. And the Green Party in America, boy, that's so sketchy. I mean, that's funded by Republicans basically now. I mean, come on. But she has turned into a Republican wannabe, Republican light. And, you know, just wait for her. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting good. Until 2020 and she announces, oh, I'm a Republican now. Flipping the Senate to these Republicans. You watch. All right? You think I'm joking? Watch. She's been angling for that for months. Don't be surprised. I'm telling you. I can totally see it happen. Totally see it. She knows where her bread's buttered is. This is about money. This is about money and power. And it's really about money. But it's about power too. Both of those things. Power brings the money. And money, you know, whatever. You know, but you know what I mean. And this is just not a case of disappointment from President Biden. It's as you were from President Biden. It's as expected from President Biden. Because I had mentioned this a number of times. I said he has the potential to be an LBJ, but he's never flexed those muscles. He allowed the other Joe, Joe Manchin, to dominate the proceedings to the point where some people, including yours truly, were saying, who is the most powerful Joe in America? Is it Joe Manchin or Joe Biden? Joe Biden or Joe Manchin? Which one of these two persons is the most powerful person on the planet or in the country? Joe Biden or Joe Manchin? And for a time, some of us were saying Joe Manchin, because during the time of the American Rescue Plan or the Recovery Plan, remember all that? I mean, I think that was the piece of legislation. And it was friggin' Manchin who was doing U-turns and going, oh, we need to work with the Republicans. And my whole thing is, why? They don't want this. That's what Biden said in his answer yesterday. Oh, well, we need to bring along the Republicans too. Why the F do you have to bring along the Republicans too? They don't want to be part of this. They want power. And if you want to bring along Republicans, then you're going to be waiting for the rest of your days. They're not going to come along with you because they know damn well that once you afford full voting rights and get rid of all these voter suppression laws and all this gerrymandering, that's the end of their ass. That's the end of them. They're gone. And that's the thing that is just pathetic from President Biden. Oh, well, I want to bring the Republicans along. That's the defense of the system right there. You don't want to bring along people who aren't helping. I mean, if I see someone down the street hacking down a tree and I'm an environmentalist, I'm not going to be sitting there saying, I want to bring this person along who's destroyed the tree. I mean, someone might want to talk some sense into that person and feel that they can convince them. But if he's got a big-ass axe and he's hacked down the tree and he's still got that axe, I don't want that person anywhere near trees or me, for that matter. So this is the thing that's just insane. Why do you have to bring these people along? And you don't. Why did we have a Democratic majority then? I mean, that's my whole thing. I mean, as slender as that Democratic majority is, Kamala Harris, the vice president, as the president of the Senate and the tie-breaking vote, as slender as that majority is, then why the hell did we have it? Why the heck did predominantly black folk sacrifice everything to vote in two Georgia Senate elections? Why do they do all of that? And yes, there are other groups, but it's black folk again as usual, taking the lead doing this, black women especially. And where are all of the Asian and Latino and white progressives and other white people who say that they are so committed to this? And then where are they? Where are they on the front lines getting arrested? I know it's a pandemic, but still, there are black folk out there in a pandemic getting arrested. Look, I'm here in California. You might ask the same question of me. I'm just saying that this should not be a fight that only black people are involved in. That's what I'm saying to you. And this is just astonishing from President Biden, but not shocking. And people said this to me, and I've been saying this to people too. Do not expect the world. He has the potential to be, but will he? And I warned people about this even last year as I was campaigning for him and rather than doing all this work for him. And phone bank, I was warning, I didn't warn people I called, but I was saying to people online that, you know, this guy is going to do some things and, you know, he's going to be better than the guy that's in there, but, you know, he's not going to move the earth, move mountains. And it's, again, and there are people I know who were very, very skeptical of President Biden, very skeptical of him, in the early days. And now, look, in the early days, he actually did pretty well. But once we got to the beginning of March, I mean, he's a placeholder, and his strong point is foreign policy, as I've said before. He is a placeholder for the system. He represents the system. He is the system. And yes, if he runs again, will I vote for him? Of course I will. But I don't think he's going to run again. And he puts Vice President Harris on this immigration stuff. And that is a thankless task. I mean, that really is. Put her, that is not her line of expertise at all. I mean, come on. She was the Attorney General of California. And you're putting her on this immigration stuff? Anyway, I didn't know. But look, the point I'm trying to make here about President Biden at this town hall is that he was piss poor last night. And we need to start turning the heat up on all of these people, Republicans and Democrats. And as Malcolm X said in the clip, you know, you voted, they've gotten all this other legislation out of the way, the recovery, and I'm thinking the Recovery Act, the CARES Act, you know, well, that was last year, 2020. And you know, all these other acts, you know, they all pass, and now they bring up you, and now they bring up you. But in this instance, they didn't bring us up at all. We've had to fight for that. And not only that, look at what's happened to all these bills that still are left unpassed. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act, the For the People Act, the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, and the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. None of those have been passed in the Senate yet at all. It's really, really despairing. And I'll be right back.
Especially those moments, and especially for those moments when this campaign was at its lowest ebb, the African-American community stood up again for me. You always have my back, and I'll have yours.
Yeah, you know, that's a bunch of garbage. You know, yeah, that's what I want to talk about again. And I said this earlier, you've always had my back. And that's the speech that he gave, a portion of the speech he gave on November 7th, 2020. That was a Saturday night in Delaware. Do you not remember that, dear listener? I'm sure you do. And if you on social media, you saw photos of yours truly and other people, millions of people dancing in the streets. So I wasn't dancing, but people were dancing on videos and everything, and honking horns. You remember that Saturday afternoon on the East Coast, Saturday morning here in the Pacific time zone? It was around 8:30 in the morning when the news came that Joe Biden had won this election. According to news projections, CNN projected it just before 8:30 in the morning Pacific time. I remember I was sitting here watching it. It's 11:30 in the morning on the East Coast. It was almost, getting toward the afternoon there. And, you know, later on, just hours later, you heard it, accepted the speech right there from Delaware. Just a few hours later, you know, and he says that line, oh, to the African-American community, you've come out, have my back again, and you've always had my back, and I'll have yours. Oh, please. Yeah. How has he had our backs? Don't tell me Juneteenth holiday. Because as I said before, they were activists and are activists around who have been fighting for that and have been fighting for that for decades. What? How is he having our back if the John Lewis Voting Rights Act hasn't been passed? If the For the People Act hasn't been passed in all its forms, in all of its dimensions? If the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act hasn't been passed, right? If the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act has not been passed, how has Joe Biden had our back so far in these first 6 months of his time in the White House? It's been 6 months and 2 days. Where has he had our back? He won't deal with this filibuster. He wants to keep it where it is. Oh, the Senate's going to crumble. Oh, we won't get anything done. As I said, the filibuster has absolutely had us handcuffed for 200 plus years. This is just, again, this is a betrayal. It's a betrayal. And that's what politicians do. So many of them betray the voter. I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on the Recovery Act. It's like, again, I want to reiterate. Malcolm X said this. You know, you vote for the Democrats. And I'm not even talking about the Republicans. The Republicans are disgusting. You vote for these people. You put them in power. You know, in his speech, and I played it earlier, you know, there were 2/3 of the Senate and the House being in the same party's hands and controlled the White House. Same thing here, but far less. The numbers are much closer, right? And black voters in large part did that. Black women voters did that in huge part. And now they bring up you. In fact, they didn't bring us up. It took black women getting arrested, and then Biden says, oh, we'll have a meeting with you. Why don't these black men that got arrested, are they going to have a meeting now in the White House? And is anything going to be done outside a freaking meeting? Is it a get to know you, how do you do, how do you do? Or is it going to be some real substantive stuff? It's just absolutely mindless. This is absolutely mindless. So you get up there and lie 9 months ago, right? 9 months ago that speech was. I can't believe 9 months have gone by. 9 months ago he gave that speech that you just heard parts of. A portion of. It's just crazy. Okay, so there's been this and there's been that and there's been some stimulus money. But come on. The vaccination situation. As, you know, as strong and as competent as a lot of that program is, there's still lots of black folk in this country that haven't been vaccinated, and the outreach has not been as strong as it should be. And I know Marcella Nunez-Smith, Dr. Smith, Nunez-Smith is supposed to be on this, but she can't be the only one. This is just crazy. It's absolutely pathetic and depressing because this guy has not pulled his weight. Not the way he should. And to vote for someone like this and didn't want to give, didn't support the $15 an hour or he relented on it, didn't support having tuition-free school. It had to be reduced money or at least he agreed to community college being tuition-free. I don't remember. But he was not for that. He's not a fan of all this stuff that, you know, he comes from Delaware. He even admitted that in the town hall. The richest, you know, it's the corporate state. He even admitted it. And this is the Joe Biden that has had this long career of, well, yes, we're going to work with the Republicans, but he doesn't do anything. The Violence Against Women Act, okay, you know, and then again, you know, like I said, you know how I feel about this with him. Because I really do think he raped Tara Reid. And some people are probably howling in disgust at me now. Why are you bringing her name up and that happened then? And listen to me, when someone gets raped, that doesn't just happen then, it happens every day. And what you're seeing is just raw power and politics and just an abdication of responsibility. is completely an abdication of the responsibility of this president and this Democratic Senate. And you need to be calling them at 202-225-3121 or 202-224-3121. You need to get up in them and tell them. You've got an election coming up. There's 34 seats up for grabs. Call all 34 of those senators. And I've read their names out a few days ago on this podcast. And you need to tell them that they aren't doing enough. When you got Joe Manchin running roughshod over everything, and you're, oh, we have to work with him. No, you don't have to work with shit. You need to step out the way and let someone who really can lead, lead. And I don't think Joe Biden has done nearly enough leading when it comes to twisting arms on the Hill. And he was in the institution for nearly 50 years, so why can't he twist arms? Whether there was a majority for LBJ that was overwhelming or not, and there was an overwhelming majority for him, why can't Joe Biden twist arms? He's the president. He's not the pauper. Oh, we can't do that. We can't go there. The Senate won't work. Well, so what? So be it. What's more important, the Senate working or voting rights? That's just crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy. I mean, I got to play this clip from Amisha Cross, because Amisha Cross, who is a political strategist in, I believe, in D.C., is going to talk about some of the stuff going on with these protests and how there is no other participation in this program, in these protests than from black folk, largely. I mean, there may be a few people who make some speeches who aren't black, but for the most part, the people who are in the trenches there and with these, you know, protests and, you know, demonstrations, most of them are black. And they're the ones getting arrested. Where are the partners? I don't mean allies. Allies we don't need. We need partners and people who are going to do the hard yards and going to make sacrifices and going to get arrested. That's what is needed. And if people can step forward, then step forward. Because next year, because of Joe Biden's ineffectiveness and ineffectual nature, when he wants to get something done, he has no problem doing it. But when he wants to let the filibuster continue, just let that continue. And we have to stop that from happening, because Joe Biden right now, with his non-committals on the filibuster, is an enemy of progress. Seriously. We must vote. We must educate. We must make these phone calls. And we must keep going in an unrelenting way. And we need everybody here to build. Everybody must be part of a coalition together to defeat this hatred and this evil and this Republican regime. You've got to get rid of these folks. Got to. That's the coalition, when you get everybody together, because that's when this works. You can't have only black people marching and getting arrested. You've got to have Asians, you've got to have Latinos, you've got to have, I mean, my goodness, come on. Let's get to work, please. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.
But we also have to face what America is right now for black people and our basic voting rights, a basic civil right, a right that is given to us under the flag of the United States, under our democracy, is being threatened and being threatened at the highest levels. And from what I saw from your earlier segment, from what I know from watching Joe Biden's town hall last night, at the end of the day, this administration is not really planning on doing much to stop this. And it's not something we haven't seen before. One of the things that Joe Biden said during that town hall that was vastly incorrect was that this was unprecedented. This was something we hadn't seen. No, we have definitely seen this in history before, and states definitely pushed against federal, even federal legislation when it came to protecting the civil rights of African Americans. This is something that has been hypervigilant for quite some time. Not only do Republicans refuse the results of the 2020 presidential election, but going into this next midterm cycle and going into this next, you know, the next presidential in 2024, what we're seeing from Republicans is a downright slap in the face of majority Black voters across this country when it comes to even having their access to the polls. That is not only disenfranchisement on, you know, on a major scale, on steroids, but what we expect is for there to be some leadership at the federal level. There's an understanding that our protesters are going to do what they need to do. Our civil rights groups are going to do what they need to do. Those activists that are out in the streets, the people who are getting arrested daily, are going to do what they need to do. What they need now is an assist from the White House. What they need now is an assist from President Biden. It shows that the values that we have put forward, the fact that Black Americans saved this democracy from blowing itself up just a few months ago, that Black Americans ensured that the Senate became that 50-50 split, that Black Americans assured that he not only became president, but that he got the hell out of the primary that he was losing as well. We have to be able to not only hold this White House accountable, but also recognize as a people that, to Professor Carr's point, to Dr. Carr's point, we kind of got played on both ends right now. It is really frustrating to watch because it seems as though not only are we fighting this fight for ourselves, because those other groups of minorities, those other groups of people of color, the other groups of disenfranchised individuals, LGBTQIA+, they're not coming out. They're not showing up. They take advantage of, in many cases, a lot of the civil rights movements and those agitators who have made things happen, who look like you and I. But at the end of the day, they don't join in arms when we need to get something done. And there is not anything more important right now than ensuring that voting rights and equity in those voting rights is seen across this country. And I fear very strongly that if Joe Biden does not step up, if he does not end this filibuster, and God knows why he's trying to save it, if he does not end this filibuster, it is going to all go up in smoke. And what does that say to the millions of Black people across this country who came out in the middle of a deadly pandemic that hit us harder than anybody else to vote to save this country? What does that say to those individuals who put it all on the line to know that this administration is backburnering the issues that matter to Black people the most?